the Holy Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos Patitsis, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, located in lovely Western Springs. We are happy to be with you again today, and as you know, if you're a regular listener to our program, we have been studying the Hymns of Ascent, or the Psalms of Ascent, which are in the Bible recorded as consecutive Psalms, 15 of them to be exact, and we began with Psalm 119 in the Septuagint counting, 120 in most of your Bibles, and then we are continuing on. The final Psalm of Ascent is Psalm 133, again in the Septuagint counting, 134 in most of your Bibles. So we're going to be looking at that today, finishing not all of them, but we have a few more to go.
Time is measured by the focusing of light, the radiant rays of sunlight, and creation of a mightier regard for life. Watch the children dance and sing their
just been listening to our beloved sister, Katina. She's my sister-in-law, and she's departed to the Lord just this past year. And that's from her beautiful CD called The Door of Repentance. I believe it's still available online, perhaps, and also CD is still available to be for sale. But God rest her soul. She did a wonderful ministry. Now, we are studying, as we said, the Psalms of Ascent. Last week, we began Psalm 131, 132 in most Bibles. The Septuagint counting is different by one in this place. And we are remembering now, just to remind you, we are ascending step by step to the temple. This is what the pilgrims would have done. They would take the entire day to go up those 15 steps. They weren't in a rush, and they used each step as a chance to examine themselves spiritually, to praise God, to prepare themselves, and then finally to rejoice in arriving at the temple itself. And last week, one of the psalms we read, and the one right before this one, Psalm 130, 131 again, said, "O Lord, my heart is not exalted, neither are my eyes raised up." And we said, here, he's so close to the temple, he could even see it if he wanted to, but he doesn't exalt himself, he doesn't even raise up his eyes, because he just wants to savor this journey as he ascends to the temple of Jerusalem. And of course, we've taken this temple to mean, besides the obvious meaning, that is to say that the temple in Jerusalem built by Solomon, but also to reference our own church, which is a type of temple, and the kingdom of heaven, which is within our own soul. So I hope you've enjoyed the studies. If you haven't heard them all, please go back. They're still on the website of Planet FM, www.planetfm.org.nz/in-the-narthex. Please give it a listen. Now, we have come to Psalm 131. "Remember David, O Lord, in all his meekness, how he swore to the Lord, how he vowed to the God of Jacob, 'I shall not enter my dwelling, I shall not recline on my bed, I shall not close my eyes in sleep, nor my eyelids for dozing.'" And we talked about that last week, how here is an amazing thing. These pious people, these pious Hebrew people, Jewish people, are understanding that they have a greater blessing even than David did. He didn't get to see the temple. He longed for it. He worked for it. He hoped to establish it, but he didn't get to have it because it wasn't God's will. It was his son, Solomon, who was able to build it. David just pined for it, but Solomon got to see it accomplished. And so any one of the pilgrims, as they're ascending, must think and know in their hearts, we are being more blessed than David. And what a profound thought that is. Now let's continue as we stopped in the middle of that psalm. "Let us worship the place where his feet have stood. Arise, O Lord, into your rest, you in the ark of your holiness. Your priests shall clothe themselves in righteousness, and your saints shall greatly rejoice." So once the temple is built, we say, "Arise, O Lord, into your rest." In other words, stand up, Lord, and go into the temple and rest there. Be with us forever. Enough of this walking around here and there. Enough of 40 years in the desert and each time a new place to rest our heads and not having a place even in the Holy Lands to put our permanent home. But now come into your permanent home. And of course, they must have been so excited to think of that. But you in the ark of your holiness. But interesting, the word in Greek arise is anasta, O Theos. Anasta. Anasta, meaning rise up, but also hinting at the word resurrection. And so now you see how the church can take these psalms also to mean something about the life of the church, Christ's resurrection. So Christ is going to go into the house of his rest, and it is into the holy church. A church not built by human hands, but in the hearts of each of the believers. "And your saints shall greatly rejoice. Your priests shall clothe themselves in righteousness." And through baptism, of course, each one of us is clothed in the garment of Jesus Christ's priesthood. We sing in the baptism, "You who have been baptized in Christ have been clothed in Christ. And your saints shall greatly rejoice." All of us, of course, called to be saints in church. Through the church, to live a holy life. That is our calling. We've had a lot of sermons about that lately in the church, and I've told you, God doesn't want us to be good as much as he wants us to be holy. And we should try and remember there's a distinction there. "Do not turn your face away from the face of your anointed." Now, the face of the anointed, Christ is the anointed one. So there's an interesting allusion there, perhaps to the crucifixion. The Lord swore to David this truth, and he shall not reject it. I shall set upon your throne one from the fruit of your loins. So David is told, look, you might not build the temple, you know, might establish the throne, but someone of your descendants will sit in that throne. Of course, Solomon sits in that throne, but not only. The early the Jews from the time of Christ saw it in also a reference to the coming Messiah. Let's stop there for a little more music, and we'll continue after that. Most of you know, who are active in the Orthodox Church, you'll know that we are now in what we call the Triodion period, that period of the Church's life, which is first a preparation for, and then is itself the celebration of the Lent, the great fast which prepares us for the feast of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that hymn you just heard, Methimono Theos, comes from the Apodipnon, or the compline service, the great compline of the great fast. So now, I will set upon your throne one from the fruit of your loins. If your sons keep my covenant and these testimonies I shall teach them, then their sons shall sit upon your throne forever. Now, of course, the only one who could keep the covenant perfectly in the Christian tradition understanding is Jesus Christ himself. So, we don't have a long line from David's loins of those who are descendant of him who are now sitting on the throne. In fact, the throne doesn't even exist anymore. It's been dismantled by the Roman Empire. It's been thrown away, burned, who knows what, destroyed. But now we have Christ. And Christ makes us all descendants of David through baptism, because we are clothed in his humanity through the sacrament of baptism. He who has been baptized in Christ has been clothed in Christ. And these testimonies I shall teach them. So we're going to learn all of the things that God wants us to know For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has chosen her for his dwelling. And again, in the mind of the church, the Virgin Mary is the new Zion, because he dwelt in her, really, physically. That is to say, God took flesh and dwelt in the womb of the Theotokos. And this is my place of rest until the ages of ages. And of course, the temple doesn't exist now. Maybe it'll be rebuilt one day. But the ages is the Panagia, the Virgin Mary, in heaven. And Christ will always dwell there. He'll always be the Son of the Virgin, even as he is the Son of God. Blessing, I shall bless her provision. I shall satisfy her poor with bread. I shall clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall rejoice. Now, all of us know that Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And we know that all of us who come to Christ feel the poverty of our spirit. We know that we aren't all that we could be. We have a glimpse of the potentiality of human beings in Christ. We see what true sanctification could be, but we realize that we fall short and we sense our own poverty. But it's not a sad thing. It's not a sorrowful thing. I mean, of course, it has a sad aspect to it, but it's also a joyful thing to know that God is so kind as to show to us the totality of his humanity and his divinity rolled into one person, Jesus Christ, and to show us that we are called to this very, very high holiness. So we can't even begin to imagine our poverty next to the riches and holiness of God. But in that poverty, he chooses to feed us with bread. And of course, there's a reference to the Holy Communion, the bread of the Eucharist. And I shall clothe the priests with salvation. And we priests say that when we put on our vestments, thy priests shall be clothed with salvation, and thy righteous ones shall rejoice. That is to say, your saints or righteous saints shall rejoice. So we put on the vestments of the priesthood. But it's also for the believer, all of us believers, we're a type of the priesthood. Let's again pause and share some more music from our collection. Song was from our the salutation service, which we will begin soon. Once the Lent begins on the Friday after the Cheese Fair Sunday, Lent, we will celebrate the first salutation to the Virgin Mary service. And I hope that you can come. It'll be at 7 p.m. And it'll be for five nights in a row. Five Fridays, that is to say, in a row. So he chose her for his dwelling and his place of rest into the ages of ages. I will dwell with her. I've chosen her. And that is his church. And the Greek word for church is a feminine word, by the way. E ekklesia. And it's also a symbol. The Virgin Mary is an icon, if you will, of the church. She herself is an icon of the church. And we are the priests of that church, all of us through our baptism, but also those of the ordained priesthood, myself being one of them. There I shall cause to spring up a horn for David. There I prepared a lamb for my anointed. His enemies I shall clothe with shame, and upon him shall my sanctification flourish. So we are remembering now the Messiah who will come, and he will sit in that temple. And as we said, it's not the temple made with human hands, but the temple, the uncreated temple that is within the heart of each human being, those of us who believe and worship Jesus Christ as the Son of God. As some of you know, I get a chance on occasion to visit the United States. And that particular CD is from the CD called Good and Faithful Servant of the Choir of St. Nicholas Orthodox Church in San Anselmo, California. St. Anselmo, in other words. San Anselmo, California. And very, very beautiful, beautifully done. And I enjoyed my time at that church. It's a small little church, but they do a tremendous things there. They do great work. God bless their priests and community. Now, this Saturday is Psycho Sabato. It's the Saturday of the souls. So we want you to know that because we're going to be in church and we're going to be praying for the dead. And I hope that you can be with us on that Saturday, because that is to say tomorrow, because we're going to be praying for the souls of all our departed. And I want to just read you a few hymns from that service. O Lord, grant that all those in every age who fell asleep in faith and hope may rejoice and be glad, where all your saints dwell in joy. And another hymn. O Christ, grant rest to all the faithful, destroyed by acts of nature, struck by deadly thunderbolts, swallowed up by the earth, or drowned in the sea. And another one. O God, grant rest to all the faithful whom you have taken of every age, old and young, children and babies, male and female. And one more. Grant rest to all who served you in faith, those killed by poisonous bites, swallowed by serpents, trampled underfoot by animals, strangled, or slain by their neighbors. So it's a very comprehensive remembrance of all those who've died. And we are called upon in our tradition to make a koliva, that is to say, to boil some wheat. And it's a simple enough recipe, but you boil kernels of wheat, wheat kernels or wheat berries, sometimes they call it, and then you let it dry overnight on a towel or a sheet, and trying to make sure you dry it on something that's not going to leave lint connected to the wheat. And then in the morning, you collect all the little wheat berries that have been puffed up from boiling. You bring them into a bowl, and you put on top all kinds of sweet things like raisins and almonds and candied almonds and slivered almonds and pomegranate seeds and any other nice and tasty thing. And then after that's all mixed in, then you cover the top with a sugar. There's another step, but I'm not going to tell you every step now on the radio. You cover it with sugar, and you decorate the top with these candied almonds and raisins, perhaps, and making sure to put on the very top the sign of the cross. And you'll bring that to church, and we'll pray for the deceased, your deceased loved ones. So now we have just completed Psalm 131, and there are just two more to go. And I want to be bold and just read one more to you. It's very short. Behold now, what is so good or so pleasant as for brothers to dwell together in unity? And of course, brothers there isn't sex related. Brothers and sisters, you know, human beings. It is like fragrant oil running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down upon the borders of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon running down upon the mountains of Zion. So it's so pleasant. It's like that oil that we saw on Aaron that was poured down upon his beard, this fragrant oil, and just dripping all the way to the bottom of his garment. And you think of him as a priest who's just fragrant with the grace of God. And that's what it's like when we live together in unity, that God's grace is manifest in such a beautiful and profound way in the world. And for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. When we dwell together in unity, when we cooperate as fellow Christians, even if we cooperate with each other as fellow humans, what a beautiful world we live in, and what happy things can happen in our lives when we work together and not against each other, not at contrary purposes to each other. Sometimes that's easy to do, sometimes it's not. But when we aspire to it, it's a good thing. How good and lovely it is when brothers dwell together in unity. So God teaches us. And now, remember, they're ascending. There's only one more step to go, and they're going to see the temple. They're going to be in the presence of the temple, and they're going to rejoice. But that last step, before the final step, the penultimate step, they want to look to their brother and say, look, if we're going to rejoice in this temple, we better know how to get along with each other, better love each other. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. As you know, we've been going over the Psalms of Ascent. We just have one more to go, Psalm 133, and we're going to cheat a little bit and read the Psalm immediately after, which is Psalm 134, next week, and rejoice with those wonderful pilgrims having reached the height of the temple. As you know, this program is offered by the Holy Archdiocese of New Zealand, whose Archshepherd is His Eminence Archbishop Miron, and whose office is headquartered in Wellington. Thank you so much for listening, and we wish you a blessed Apokrias this Sunday and a Kalisarakosti in the week to come.